Legends of the Hidden Temple. With your guide, Kirk Fogg.
Yeah. Kirk Fogg.
Wow. Thank you very much.
There he is. There's Kirk Fogg. So I mentioned, this is Nick DiGilio, by the way. Hi, everybody. I'm your overnight dude here. Dan Chigrou, my producer, and Esmeralda Leon is in the newsroom. So I mentioned this show, Legend of the Hidden Temple. It was a Nickelodeon show in the early and mid-90s. And for some reason, last week, my news feed was loaded with people who were incredibly excited about the fact that this show was coming back in a different form, but it was coming back. People who I'm friends with who are younger than I am, maybe like, 15, 20 years younger than me, seem to be very, very excited about the prospect of Legends of the Hidden Temple coming back. Now, this is a show that I never heard of. So I brought it up last week simply because there seemed to be an enormous amount of interest on social media about the return of this show. So I thought, okay, I'll ask my buddies here and my cohorts in crime on the show to tell me about their memories of this show, because, Esmeralda and Dan are both younger than I am and were sort of, I guess, the perfect age. And Dan, you never really watched the show. You knew of it, right?
Right.
But you weren't freaking out over the fact that it might return.
Correct.
And Esmeralda, you felt the same way?
Pretty much, yeah.
Now, you remember it, though?
Yes.
Okay. It is a game show starring Kirk Fogg. Is that his name? And it takes place on, like, an island. It takes place in a studio on the Universal lot. And it looks like a jungle, hidden fortress island thing. And these teams of kids who are wearing T-shirts of different animals, because that's the name of their teams. They have to figure out puzzles and questions and do physical stunts, and then they go through a obstacle course at the end. And there's a giant stone-faced dude named Stoneface Johnson, is what I call him. But he's actually Olmec or Olmec? Olmec. So he would talk, and his face would light up, and so... There were people who texted in, and you can text anytime you want, call anytime you want, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200, with their memories about it. And now, because it generated so much attention last week, Dan, where did you find this article about these amazing legendary facts?
Mental Floss.
Mental Floss did a piece about it. And for those of you who do remember the show, you can call in with your thoughts on it. The Legends of the Hidden Temple with my friend Stoneface Johnson and Kirk Fogg. 312-981-7200. Here are some facts. Are you ready, Esmeralda? Are you ready for some of these facts?
I want to know.
Fact number one, the guards traumatized children.
I can believe that.
Now, you would go through this obstacle course and these guards would bust out, right?
Yeah, they just bust out of nowhere.
And they grab
doors and stuff, yes.
It says, if a team was able to successfully pass the show's first three rounds, they were rewarded with an obstacle course inside the temple that was a confusing mass of puzzles, rooms, and temple guards that would pop out to terrify the very tired children. do you guys remember, were they were teenagers or younger? The kids that would participate?
Younger.
12?
Yeah, 12, 13.
Okay,
yeah.
So you got these kids who've been doing this now. They're very tired, and these dudes pop up. Now, were they wearing crazy costumes and stuff, the temple guards? Do you remember?
They looked like Mayan civilization.
Were like,
so the guys didn't have shirts on. He had like a headdress.
And yeah.
Necklaces.
And they come busting out, scaring the crap out of a bunch of 11-year-olds.
Yeah, they'd be hiding behind, so it was like doors or just like a wall, and they'd just hop out and grab you.
That's hysterical. One contestant named Kelly told SBNation.com in 2013, okay, I've just become Pat Foley. Thank you, everybody. 2013, that the sight of a guard bursting from a hidden compartment on the set reduced her to tears. She now says, I'm 31 and I can't go into haunted houses. I'm deathly afraid of things popping out of closets and doors. How about this, though? Another little fact about the temple guards traumatizing children. Not only is this woman still traumatized in her 30s, how about this one? It says another contestant was so upset that she puked into the pit of despair.
Very appropriate.
And that's, yeah, it's not a metaphor.
Oh, man. All right. This is why everybody loves this show. You got kids puking into the pit of despair. And you got Stoneface Johnson. How about this? Producers picked the host almost at random. Oh, Kirk Fogg was not experienced? Is this what we're about to find out, Dan?
Scandalous, yes.
Host Kirk Fogg. I love this guy's name. Kirk Fogg was told BuzzFeed that he was more or less picked at random out of a headshot catalog and asked to audition by reading some play-by-play from a teleprompter, and it was his first ever hosting gig. Now, could you guys tell that it was his first? Was Kirk Fogg not the slickest?
I think he did all right, all things considered.
Right, and that's not the hardest thing to do.
Yeah.
You just have to introduce people.
Did Kirk Fogg have to clean up the vomit from all the scared children in the pit of despair?
It was a double duty job.
There was a man inside Olmec. Okay, so inside Stoneface Johnson, there was a dude. One of Temple's most memorable elements was the giant head of Olmec, a faux stone carving that would narrate the proceedings and offer underwhelming advice to the contestants. What does that mean? Would he say stuff like, go towards the tree. Would he do that? Is that?
I just think he did very generic. Don't drown. It was just something pretty, like, okay, oh. Thanks.
Try not to vomit into the pit of despair. He would narrate the proceedings and offer underwhelming advice to the contestants. We played a little bit of Olmec Stoneface Johnson last week. And he was basically explaining the next game. At least the clip that we played, he was setting up what the next obstacle or puzzle was. So, according to Fogg, Kirk Fogg, well, geez, Kirk Fogg just did a lot of talking about this show.
I think it was his only show.
I was going to say, he's got a lot of time on his hand, I would imagine. According to Fogg, D. Bradley Baker, who was the voice of Olmec, was actually inside the 6-foot-tall head with a microphone and a script. As he spoke, he controlled the movement of the statue's mouth with a lever. When he wasn't talking, he would kick back in the head and read a book or jump out to watch the stunts. Boy, what a gig that is, huh? Stoneface Johnson, that's the gig that Fogg should have gotten.
His voice is too high-pitched.
Who, Fogg?
Yeah, for a big stone face.
Yeah, you want to have a guy with the deep. You know who should have got the gig? Orion. Could you imagine
amazing Olmec?
Could you imagine him as Olmec?
All the clues would involve agriculture.
That's right.
I mean, they did do that.
Did they?
Yeah, because it was all like history stuff. So there's always an element of learning.
Here's another secret from behind the scenes of the history of the secret history of the legends of the hidden Olmec Stoneface Johnson show. The first episode took 18 hours to shoot. You gotta be kidding me. No wonder kids are puking in the pit of despair. They're stuck there for 18 hours running around. And don't they, as you guys said, don't they fall into moats and stuff?
Not to the end.
No, it was in the beginning. That's how they weeded out people.
By throwing them into a moat?
Well, they'd have to cross, but it was like a whole thing. They'd be on a boat or something. I think they'd have to get things that was in the water.
Oh, so you'd have to, like, dig stuff out?
Well, no, you just probably have to go get it. It was, like, floating in the water. And I feel like they probably fell in or stuff like
that. I really wish I would have watched this show. I swear to you, man. I'm telling you. The more I hear about this, when I started reading about it last week, I'd never heard of it before in my life. I read about it last week. It's like the most popular thing on the internet. We talk about it on the air. I get these. I want to watch all the episodes.
Well, apparently they're on YouTube.
Yeah, full episodes online.
Are they? Is the one episode where the kid pukes into the pit of despair, is that detailed?
Sure, that was edited, but...
No. We have to find Kirk Fogg. Dan, don't you think we need to find Kirk Fogg? He can't be busy, can he? Oh, wait, maybe
he's
in...
How long did that interview last?
Are you kidding? All 3 hours of the show.
I feel like he'd be real bitter.
Well, maybe he's going to be in the movie.
I doubt it. What do they need him for?
He's Kirk Fogg!
Maybe they'll do like a Skywalker thing where they just bring him in.
Bring him in at the end? At the very end? Well, I just screwed up Force Awakens for anybody who's not seen it. Esmeralda, have you seen Force Awakens?
I haven't.
Oh, sorry.
Nah, it doesn't matter. I'll forget by the time I watch it.
Yeah. If you're looking for Luke Skywalker, he doesn't show up till the last 2 minutes of the movie. Just in case. Listen, if you haven't seen it by now, it's only the most popular movie in the history of cinema. All right, we got a break here. We got weather, we got traffic, and then we'll come back and talk more about Kirk Fogg and the Legends of the Hidden Temple. That's what it should have been called. Kirk Fogg and the Legends of the Hidden Temple featuring Stoneface Johnson. And the Pit of Despair. Nick DiGiulio here on 720 WGN. And we're talking about the legendary Legends of the Hidden Temple show that was on Nickelodeon. And somehow, many of my younger friends who I've hung around with, a lot of people that I did theater with who are 15, 20 years younger than me, people that I hang out with, that I used to hang out with on a regular basis, got very, very excited at the return of this show coming back as a movie. So now we're going back and looking at this. It's like a kid's game show, essentially, where kids were traumatized and sent through a moat, you know, so upset that they were vomiting into the pit of despair. And we have more. Now, let's get back to that first episode. The first episode took 18 hours to shoot. How do you keep these kids and a studio audience in there for 18 hours? In addition to the expected production hang-ups typical of any inaugural episode, Temple had the added stresses of an elaborate set and physical challenges that were difficult to coordinate. Fogg, boy, this Kirk Fogg guy is doing a lot of talking, man. You know, I got a feeling he's writing a tell-all book. That's what I think.
I just checked out kirkfogg.com.
Oh.
There is a contact page, but no email listed.
What does that mean?
It says, if you'd like to talk to Kirk Fogg, email us at...
Nothing.
Nothing.
Oh, there's something. There's a mystery. You know what? He's being shut down, man. He talked too much already.
He's fallen into the pit of despair.
Secretly, someone has kidnapped him and taken him to the pit of despair. Because he's talking too much. Esmeralda, don't you think he's revealing too much? It's a little dangerous to do that.
Well, they don't want to ruin the movie.
That's right.
All those movie magic secrets.
That's right. I think Stoneface Johnson has something to do with his abduction. Anyway, Fogg told Albany's WCBD radio that their first contest took over 18 hours to shoot. By the time of the Temple run, the exhausted contestants were sobbing. Oh, my God. This is unbelievable. This is like a sweat house. All right, number five, the dark forest smelled terrible. Okay. Well, sure, there's puke all over the place. There's kids vomiting everywhere. Do you think that they had a really big supply of that sawdust stuff that they always have at elementary schools? Does anybody remember that? Am I the only one? Did they have that when you guys were growing up?
No, I remember that. It's called like Vom Off or something.
It's called Vom Off?
Something like that. Vom something.
Dan, do you remember Vom Off?
I do.
Yeah, that was my radio name when I first started. It's Captain Vom Off! Yeah! All right. God, you know, for some reason, when I just remember when I went to Hamilton, Alexander Hamilton Elementary School, which is in Lakeview. Still there, public school, went there. And I don't know, maybe because it was the 70s when I went there, there was an inordinate amount of vomit. Like, kids were puking all the time, like every day. Does that still happen in elementary schools? Does Dan, your wife is a teacher. Do kids puke all over the place at school?
I guess I can be thankful that's not the thing she usually leads with when she tells me about her day.
Yeah. But you'll have to ask her about vom-off.
Yeah.
What were you saying, Ed?
I think this time of year it's not uncommon. You got the flu going around. You got the warm and the cold temperatures.
I guess. I just remember, I mean, I think there was a puke a day when I went to school.
Maybe it's because little kids always dare other little kids to eat weird things.
I think it was just because of the 70s.
Okay.
I think, yeah.
How many vomits were you responsible for?
A couple.
And why did you vomit?
I was sick. I don't know. I guess because I wanted to fit in. It's like, I was like, well, I better vomit because I've been going to the school now for 5 years. I haven't puked once. I should, though, because I really do want to fit in. I just remember, I'm not kidding. I just remember constantly. And you could smell that vom-off sawdust stuff. Sir, you could smell it throughout the entire land. I went to the Pit of Despair school, evidently. The Temple Guard and stunt supervisor Mike Lupia told a Legends fan site that his least favorite room was in the temple was the Dark Forest. In addition to having to wait inside of a fake tree, the limbs cut out into his arms for the entire room, but the entire room smelled like 3 years worth of BO. Oh, my God. This show sounds like a nightmare.
Good thing it was televised. There's no smell-o-rama.
Yeah. Well, I bet the studio stunk. Like, if you went there just to, you know, just to watch a taping, God forbid. Hey, we're at Universal Studios. Let's go watch a taping of Stoneface Johnson's show. And you go in there and you're like, man, what is this? How about this? The Silver Monkey was deceptively difficult. Many a viewer has screamed at their television watching the incompetent adolescents try to assemble the seemingly simple Silver Monkey. There are only three parts, but according to Fogg, I think that should be the name of his book, According to Fogg. According to Fogg, the reason contestants had so much trouble with it was because they were trying to do it with the monkey facing away from them, a clock running out, and the threat of the guards always looming. This is terrifying. It's much easier said than done. These guards are terrifying, man. They got the smell. This is a horrible show. Why were my friends obsessed with this show? You guys were smart, Dan and Esmeralda.
You know why? Because you would watch it and you would be like, I could do better. Or you can answer the questions and you would essentially be like, I would, you know, do much better than that kid. So you'd watch in that sense,
yeah.
I guess, to maybe make yourself feel better.
Well, that's why you watch a lot of game shows, right? Because you're like, man, you know.
Right.
I can do that American Ninja Warrior course, no problem.
Producers couldn't let too many kids win. Fogg tells this great big story in 2016. There are good reason only 30-odd teams wound up finishing the final obstacle course out of the show's 120 episodes. Producers didn't have the budget to award a grand prize to too many kids. Oh, my God. So they kept the kids from winning. They kept them there for 20 hours. They traumatized them. They threw them into moats. The kids were throwing up. The place smelled. Wow. The grand prize was misleading. Well, let's get into this one. Out of the limited prizes producers were allowed to give out, a trip to Universal Studios was often featured during the broadcast episode. It made little sense as the contestants were often from Orlando, where they taped on the Universal Studios lot. The real prize, according to one contestant, was a trip to Busch Garden. Another kid won a bike, a CD player, and a trip to Vermont.
You know, kids love maple syrup.
Those kids love Vermont. You know, whenever you ask a kid where they want to go on vacation, where would you like to go on vacation? I would love to go to Vermont, Mom.
Those changing leaves. Gorgeous.
You don't want to go to Universal Studios or Epcot Center or anything like that? No, Mom, I'd like to go to Vermont, preferably in the fall. All right, we got to take a break. This show sounds like a damn nightmare, Dan.
Maybe you would have enjoyed it.
That's why I want to watch them all now. I want to watch every episode of Stoneface Johnson and the Gang. Okay. All right, we got to take a break. We got the news coming up next, and then we'll talk a little bit more about this. It's National Cereal Day. You might want to enjoy some cereal. We got a Blackhawks Express, and of course, my dad will tell a jokey time. Hi, Nick DiGilio here, 720 WGN, live in the Allstate Studio, 7th floor of the Trib Tower. 5 o'clock is the opening bell with Steve Grzanich, and then Steve Cochran at 6. And I will be loitering around the studio with the gang for the show this morning. All right, we are learning just how much of a nightmare and how traumatizing this Nickelodeon show from the 90s was. Legends of the Hidden Temple was this game show that apparently traumatized children, smelled really bad, made people work 20-hour days, wasn't even giving away prizes that they promised, and their biggest prize they ever gave was a trip to Vermont. And yet people still loved this show. For some reason, the kids still loved it. And I was talking about how at one point when they were doing this show, one kid got so upset that she vomited into the pit of despair. And that made me think of the inordinate amount of vomit that we went to school with in the 70s. And I don't know if that was just because it was the 70s and kids threw up more. But it just seemed to me that, like, you know, that the vom-off sawdust stuff was prevalent every single day I went to school when I was a kid. I'm not kidding, Esmeralda.
I wonder if that was all schools in the 70s.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know if it was more, you know, if it happened more then. I mean, you know, the Exorcist came out in the 70s. I just want to make that known.
So it was cool to vomit?
I guess.
See, but did they vomit on people?
It was just everywhere. I just remember the custodians being really just like, oh, God. You know, you'd see it on the floor or on the stairs or something, then they would get the... I'm not kidding. It was everywhere. Here's Ray on WGN. Hey, Ray.
Hey, how are you?
All right.
Kids vomit more today.
They do?
Absolutely. I went to public school, too, in the city. And they still use that, whatever that stuff is called. And I had a kid do it Thursday.
Yeah. Okay, so it still happens.
Absolutely.
Oh, okay.
And in regards to why do people watch this stuff,
yeah,
it's like, it's very macabre. It's like when you see a car wreck.
Yeah.
Don't you, like, glare at it?
Well, I mean, yeah, I guess. I mean, a lot of people watch those things for that effect. But I don't know. The kids just seem to... My friends just seem to really love this. By the way, it's called Vauban.
Oh, okay.
Nick, the pink sawdust stuff we have is called Vauban. We still have it, and yes, they still vomit.
I mean, of course they still vomit, but do they vomit in such a high rate?
I would think so.
You should do a study.
My counterpart had 3 vomits in one day. Ugh. Martin from Bolingbrook said that stuff smelled worse than the vomit. 815 area. Good morning, everybody. By the way, I hope you're enjoying your breakfast. I worked at Santa's Village, and we used the stuff called Vauban. Oh, I bet Santa's Village, man. Ooh. I bet they had to have truckfuls of that stuff at Santa's Village, right?
It's probably the mulch.
Like at Great America, I bet they have a warehouse full of that stuff.
Oh, man.
It was called Sweeping Compound where I work, 630 area code says. 224 area code says, the kids are puking all the time. Take it from another school custodian. We use a product called Vauban. It smells like cedar. So then it smells like you threw up in a forest. All right, here's another little fact about this terrifying television show. And that's what we're learning about this, is that
the illusion is broken.
Absolutely. This beloved show from kids in the 90s on Nickelodeon, The Legends of the Hidden Temple, was a nightmare, was a terrifying show. It was horrible. The kids were just paired at random is our next fact. They didn't even know each other.
Oh, wow.
According to a former contestant named Anthony, the two-person teams were usually the results of kids just being herded into a stage area, paired together at random by some production assistant, and they'd have a couple of minutes to strap on their gear, barely get to know one another before falling into a moat. This is unbelievable. This show rules, man. Here's the next fact. Are you ready? Well, it won a Cable Ace Excellence Award.
What?
Yeah.
In 1995,
the National Academy of Cable Programming honored Temple with their Cable Ace Award for Best Game Show Specials or Series.
Must have been a slow year.
See, all that hard work paid off. All that kid traumatizing paid off. And there is a movie on the way. We're talking about that. Nickelodeon recently announced that the show would be adapted into a live-action movie about three kids faced with solving the puzzles of Olmec. The steps of knowledge are also expected to appear. And then in 2002, Nickelodeon unloaded many of its props from the set, including Olmec.
Oh, man.
Who was sold off to the highest bidder.
Could you imagine? I would love to have that in my house.
Are you kidding?
And just have people go in it and talk.
Yeah, that would be fantastic because the eyes light up.
You'd have a party and be like, welcome to my home.
You'd Stoneface Johnson right in the middle of your living room. Wow. Wow. Dan, this is an incredible piece right here.
Pulitzer.
I'm telling you.
It's quite an expose.
It is an absolute expose on the nightmare that was the Legends of the Hidden Temple. There are kids. Kids are still adults right now. Are traumatized by that.
They need to get some kids. Someone needs to write a memoir.
Man. Now here's Brian, who has another. He might know a little bit more about the Legends of the Hidden Temple, which sounds like an incredible story. All right, Brian.
Hey Nick. Side note: I totally remember back in the '80s and '90s going to school with that sawdust stuff. And I don't know what smelled worse, the puke or when they put the sawdust on there. That was horrible.
Yeah, it was.
But anyway, you know, the writers sometimes would get in on the show as well. They wanted to torture the kids, and they'd dress up as guards and scare the kids, too.
So basically, we've got a bunch of sadists who are on this show. Like, even the writers are like, yeah, put me in a costume. I want to throw some kid in a moat.
That's one of the perks.
One of the perks is traumatizing children.
Right, that was in the job description.
That's fantastic. Oh man.
Great show.
Yeah. All right, Brian. Thanks, man.
All right, no problem.
Dude, you imagine being a writer on that show?
Because what would they? They would just have to write the intros,
like intros, and questions. You know.
Yeah.
You know, like historical sort
Which
of questions.
Is, I would think they'd be done by you know. Half,
yeah, of course.
By that's... noon, they'd be like, we're done. We got 20 shows done.
We're done. We're all done. So put me in a mask so I can jump out and scare the crap out of a kid. I want to give this kid a memory that'll last a lifetime, and obviously therapy.
Right.
Wow. All right. Well. That entire list and everything is available on our Facebook page if you would like to recap why that show was so terrifying and horrible to children, and yet people loved it. So look forward to that TV movie. Whew. I'm going to YouTube this stuff all day.
I mean, mind you, they probably edited out the vomit.
Yeah.
But you do see, like, when you watch it, you do see the little kids, like, freaking out because the other one can't do something. And they're just like, ah!
Yeah.
You just see them frustrated.
God, I'm assuming that this show led to a lot of therapy bills. It's just a...
Probably, yeah. Maybe it was a show started by the therapy.
Oh, yeah, by psychologists everywhere. Yeah. Children's psychologists were like,
they're like, we're gonna make some idea. Money.
I got an idea. I got this show here. It's called the Stoneface Johnson, and we're going to scare the hell out of kids so that we can get some money.
It's all a conspiracy.
It's going to be years worth of therapy. We're all going to be lining our pockets.
Do you all former creators of TV shows like hang out in a secret lair?
Yeah.
You know, be like,
oh, that's right.
I'm the guy from Friends, and I'm the guy from Legends of the Hidden Temple.
Yeah.
Do you one-up each other?
Oh, sure.
Well, I invented the Rachel haircut. Yeah.
I don't know if I told you how many times I made Joey vomit. Yeah. Matt LeBlanc, queasy man.